I'm Glenn, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm going to be heckled the whole time. I was trying not to think about my story the whole time up to this point, just because just trying to listen. It was a good story. I can totally relate. I go into talking to jails and stuff like that, and I was like real scared to go into jails, and realized that they're just like me. Like, I'm no different. I've done the same things they've done, and I just got lucky and didn't get caught, you know. And so it could have easily been me. My first drink, the one I actually do remember it was that when I was with my cousin. He was a senior, and I was a sophomore. And I looked up to my cousin, and I would love to watch him get drunk. And I couldn't wait till I could get drunk with him. And the night that I got drunk, it was awesome. There was no consequences. There was only good things that happened. I found myself dancing between two women, and knew that. Like, I wanted to get drunk every night, you know. Ever since that point, it's not that I actually did start drinking every night, but it was always looking forward to that next time and figuring out what I had to do to get to that point. And before I started drinking, though, my parents, they don't really drink. My dad drinks once in a while if he has friends over, and which is very rare. But when he would get drunk, I would love it, you know, because they would always like let me like stay up at night. I could do whatever I wanted, and so the consequences were always good with drinking when I was, when my parents were drinking or my dad was drinking. And I've seen my mom drink one time. She told me like one of the dirtiest jokes I've ever heard, and I was just like, how does this even happen, you know? And it was just very weird. And my mom's like, goes to church every Sunday kind of person. And I'm just trying to think of where I was going. The funny thing is, I'm like, a lot of the people in here have heard my story. I'm like trying to figure out, I'm going to tell a different story. I was like, but I'm just going to tell you the same story that I've said 1,000 times. I was, started hanging around people more like me. I love drinking, so I would hang around people that like drinking. I started smoking pot. I love smoking pot too. And what I found is that you don't really throw up when you smoke pot, and that you can smoke as much as you want. You might lose your legs, you know, but you like, it's just like something you just, it's something like, it feels like very harmless. And but my circle of friends through time just started shrinking, you know. And I didn't realize it, you know, because I thought that these are the close friends that I have, and they would do anything for me. And but the thing that I had, you know, is either I had money or I had alcohol, or whether it be pot, you know, I always had something to offer. And if I didn't have anything to offer, they're not calling me, you know. And so, you know, through high school, you just drinking on the weekends. And when I got to college, like up to that point, like I think senior year, my parents, like, it was like one of my resentments. It sounds so stupid, but like my parents told me that it was that they were not going to send me to a university. And I wasn't trying to go anywhere. I was just mad that they even said that they would, you know, that they weren't going to send me to a university. And they said I was going to go to community college. And I was like, well, you don't even have to try when you go to community college. And so my senior year was just drinking as much as I could. And then when I got to community college, I went to school like every day. And but I never did the homework. I always thought drinking was way more important. And and I couldn't figure out how all these people were passing their classes. Like, they would get, like, I would get to class, and there was a reading assignment. I'm like, nobody's going to read this assignment, you know. And then I'd get there, and everybody reads the assignment, and I'm the only one not knowing what to do. And And there's a lot of like those questions where you just have to like, it's not multiple choice, you have to write out an essay. And I figured the longer the essay, the better I have a chance of hitting the getting the answer, and always have an F, you know. And I went to school for 2 years, community college, didn't get any credits, and I devoted my, I was mowing lawns and with a lawn business, and then I also. I was selling pot on the side, and I always thought of that as a second job all the way until I got sober. I never counted it out, you know, and the hardest part about sobriety is finding that second job. I was like, dude, can I still sell weed, you know, please? And I was like, I'm so broke. And my sponsor was like, I don't think that's a good idea. And I'm like, but I would make a lot more money. I'm not doing it, you know, and then... But it was very tough my first year with doing that. And so anyways, I got pretty deep into doing that stuff. And that's when my circle of friends got even, you know, the high school friends kind of like disappeared. They're like, whoa, where are you going, Glenn? You know, like I was just getting worse and worse. And I thought they were just overreacting. And I thought they were doing the same things. And so I ended up... having a small group of friends, I started mowing lawns like full time, and I found my friends. The only friends I had were pretty much the guys I mowed lawns with, which these guys were. I was 19 years old, and they were 38, 40, and about 50. The other one, and they're all three going through divorces, and I thought, you know, I thought that. You know, that's a ticket out, you know, is a divorce. That's all you need is to get a divorce so you can do whatever you want, you know. And I was so happy for them, you know. And it wasn't like here is like kind of like sad, you know, but it's like, but not. But then it was just like, man, I can't wait till they get over with this, because or if they start like trying to get back together, they would stop hanging out with the guys, and then it would just be not nearly as fun. And we had this one guy that would he was, we're not allowed to say we're alcoholics, but we're all alcoholics. Like these guys, there was one guy that he would work with us almost every other day. And the days that he wouldn't work with us, he would stay inside and he would tell us this, he would stay inside and just drink all day. And we're like, dude, that is alcoholic. And then the other guy that we had with us, he worked every day. But what would happen to him is he would start shaking at noon. And it would make me excited because I knew we were about to start drinking. But I was like, that guy's got a problem. Like, I was like, that guy has a drinking problem. And my boss, you know, we would just talk bad about him, you know. And, you know, I we were doing the same thing. We were right there next to him drinking. The thing is, like, we'd show up to this Mexican restaurant, and we'd always say, we're only going to have one drink, all of us, you know, we're only going to have one drink. And after that first drink, it was like roll the dice, and didn't know if we were getting back to work. And so I started to think that was my problem. You know, I thought that these guys that I'm hanging out with, you know, were my problem. And so I end up deciding to get a job. Because I need what I need is a girlfriend, you know, and that's what I really need. And so I'm like, well, I'm not going to find any girls mowing lawns. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll go get a job at a restaurant. And I mean, I kind of bounced around a little bit. I got fired like the day that I started applying for other jobs. I got a new truck for some reason, and I got fired the day I got this new truck. And the gas prices were through the roof. So like I would literally drive, and I would have like I would make like $15 in tips or something like that. And then half of it would go to my gas tank, and then the other half would go to my whatever I was doing that night, drinking or partying, whatever. And every day that would be the same thing over and over and over. I was living with my parents, and you know, and then I ended up getting a job at Red Lobster, which was a lot better job than all the other ones I was getting. And I started to make like $60 a night there. And what would happen is half of that would go to something, I don't know, like gas, and then the other half would still go to drinking. Like it was never, it was just how it worked. And it was within the first week I got this job, I started dating this bartender girl, and she was 30 and I was 20 years old, and it was very, very dysfunctional. It was a year and a half relationship, and it was just very interesting. You know, she would, it was just, she would do everything for me, but I would, you know, the second that she would ask for rent, it was time to go home to parents. You know, I'm like, I don't live here. Why would you ask for rent? You know, and I was like, you're trying to hold me back. I'm trying, I can't do this. You know, you're 30 years old. You're trying to get married. I'm 20 years old. I'm not trying to get married. I'm not paying you rent. And I would go home. I would go home to my parents' house. And like within a day, I'm back there and I'm there for, there's like such a, I would take all my clothes out. And then I would take, and they would just stay in the back of my truck. They were in the back of my truck, in the back, not in the back of the bed, but like the actual cab area. And so anyways, I'm like literally living out of my car, like living out of my car and living with this girlfriend. And anytime she had asked for rent is back to going to my parents, which is sleep at my parents for a night or two. And I managed to start up a lawn business in the middle of that, and you know, the lawn business was just it was good. You know, it wasn't bad. It was just I started the old boss that I had. He rehired me, and he ended up selling his company and sold me like 5 accounts. Which it wasn't like I had money to pay for the accounts. I just had to work them off, and then I managed to get to like 50 accounts mowing lawns, and that is like just my ego telling you that, because I wasn't making any money. Like I was like literally drinking instead of writing up invoices, you know, so I don't get paid, you know, don't get paid. I'm just mowing these yards, mad at the people not paying me. And I should be writing these invoices, but I'm instead, I'll do it later is really what I would say. You know, I'll do it in the morning. I'll do it, you know, and whenever I'm serious about mowing, it starts to rain, you know? It's always something. And the thing about me drinking is whenever I already make the decision that I'm going to drink, like, I've already made, it's already, the solution has happened. Like, I'm already excited. These yards, I'm going to mow 30 yards tomorrow. This is going to be a great day. And then I might have some guy that's with me that was mowing with me. I'm like, we're like talking about how we're going to do great tomorrow. And we get to the bar and we just have these, like, I'm like going to have 2 trucks, you know, I'm going to have, you know, all this stuff going on, and pretty much exactly, you know, like what I should be doing is be working. But instead I'm like just talking about how it's going to be great in the future. And literally I would start drinking around 3 o'clock every day. And all the way till about 11 o'clock, which I considered that responsible. I thought stopping at 11 o'clock was a responsible thing to do, but it was literally like passing out 11. And what would happen is I would wake up around 2 o'clock in the morning for some reason. And today I know is like anxiety, worry about all the things I should be doing, but I'm not doing it. You know, I have like all these people that want things done and I'm not doing it. I'm instead drinking, and I'm like, all right, well, tomorrow I just need to get back to sleep, and I can't get back to sleep. I have, you know, and then I finally get back to sleep at like 6 in the morning. I get like 2 hours of sleep, you know, start working around 9 or 10, and around 12 o'clock something happens to me where I decide that this doesn't even sound like a good idea, and that, you know, at 3 o'clock I have that same conversation that I had yesterday about these 2 trucks I'm gonna own, and like we're gonna take over, you know, the whole community, you know, just mowing these lawns, and literally at this point I'm like owing my girlfriend $500, and she's mad at me for getting drunk every day, and she's mad, and I don't understand why she's mad, because I'm like, well, I'm gonna go and spend $20 at the bar, which is not going to pay your $500 bill that I owe you, you know? And she doesn't, you know, I don't even think about the, I don't think about like the groceries or anything like that, you know. And this is a different girlfriend after the other girlfriend. So the one thing about that first girlfriend, though, I did know is that there was absolutely nothing wrong, like, with her. Like, after it was all said and done, I was like, I totally tore that one up. Like, I was like, it was not by any means her fault. And that was all because I wanted to, at that time, I wanted to smoke pot. You know, I wanted to smoke pot and drink. And she didn't want me to do that all the time. And so I started feeling like I was like, well, maybe there's something to it. And then it got to a point where I was like, well, maybe I should just stop smoking pot. You know, and I was like, so what happened was when I stopped smoking pot, I managed to get another girlfriend. I don't know. And I quit smoking pot for like 8 months. And I was drinking like alcoholically. And she ends up... Anyways, somehow I was drunk, and I started smoking pot again, and like literally within a month, I'm back to smoking pot like 5 times to every day, like all the time being high, and I just couldn't. It was just something I just thought that was so weird. I realized I was like, man, I just can't stop smoking weed, and what would happen? And it sounds like some people's drinking. And I know this is. I know smoking pot and drinking, you know, whatever. It's not quite the same. But at this time, the things that I was doing is things that people talk about. You know, is I would. She would. My girlfriend would look at me and she's like, "You're just waiting for me to go to bed so you can smoke pot." And I was like, "You know, no, I'm not." You know, I'm such a bad liar. I'm such a bad liar that she can read right through me. And she's just like, you know, whatever, fuck you, kind of thing. And so I'm like hiding this to like that I'm doing this, and she ends up. So I end up like really feeling like she's about to leave me. So I'm like, all right, I need to stop. And so I eventually somehow stop. And my last month of drinking is pretty much when I realized that my drinking was getting out of control. Also, and so she did the same thing, though. She would be like, she would get mad because she would buy this bottle of vodka, and it was her bottle of vodka, and she would drink a glass of, or a, whatever, a drink of it. And I would, she was like, you can only have one. And I would make it like freaking all vodka. And it would be like, I would drink it, and then it would just be like, just could not wait till she could go to bed so I could drink the rest of her bottle. Like, and it wasn't like, that's not what I was thinking. I was just like, I just really want to drink more. Why doesn't she let me drink more? You know? And I didn't think it was like alcoholism. Like, I wasn't like thinking that I'm I actually knew that I was alcoholic, but I didn't think it was a problem. Like, I never really considered alcohol, me being alcoholic, a problem. And so anyway, I would pick fights with her just so I could go out and party with my friends, you know? And I wouldn't like, I wouldn't consider that that wasn't my thinking when I was doing it, but my actions were showing that that's what I was doing. And so I'd pick fights with this girl, and I had like a truck, or the same truck. It was on, it had a flat tire, but I'd fill it up every single day. And it would be flat in the morning, every morning. And so I had to fill up this flat tire every single day. And it's like, I think it was like, it might have been like $100 to get a brand new tire for this truck. And I just never thought that this $20 or this $40 that I'm going to the bar is not going to fix his tire, you know? And so I just kept, you know, riding on flats. And it was just like something where when people would say, like, and what, this is what would happen though, like, I was 23 years old, and if you didn't know me that well, you would say, man, Glenn's doing very well. You know, Glenn's got 50 yards. He's got a pretty girlfriend, a nice apartment, a nice area, a nice truck. And but the reality of it is that I have 20 people that are mad at me that I haven't mowed their yard yet. The truck is 5 months behind. The girlfriend hates me. The apartment's not paid for by me at all. And, you know, but the ego tells me that, yeah, this is great. You know, look how good I'm doing. And that's literally what it looked like when I came into AA. And so anyways, I had my last month of drinking is no different. The problem when I was new is I had a lot of fun in my last month of drinking, but I just saw my drinking building more consequences. I saw that I was tearing up all the close relationships in my life. And I had another friend that two friends that actually stopped drinking at the same time. One friend was alcoholic, and his girlfriend was really mad at him. And I was making fun of him like a week before I stopped drinking. Like, I was like, oh, you are so whipped. Why don't you just come out and drink? Don't worry about her. And then the other friend was not alcoholic, and he was like really having fun. And I was just like, how the hell does he do that? And when I got like a month of sobriety, I realized that that was the difference between me and him, because he was like really enjoying staying sober. And I really hated it, you know? And I was just like, why do I have to be sober? And my last night of drinking, it was Memorial weekend, and nothing different than any other night. I was at the pool drinking, and my girlfriend would stop drinking with me halfway through my drinking, because she didn't like it when I got drunk. And so she would leave me, and then she'd come pick me up, because she didn't want me to get a DUI, because I lived with her, that she knew that she would have to tow me around everywhere if I got a DUI. So she didn't want me getting a DUI. And I think she had the intentions of finding the new place after, because the lease was like almost up. And so she picks me up at like 12 o'clock at night, and she's like screaming at me. And it wasn't any different than any other argument that I've ever had with her, you know. But the difference was that I didn't have a good answer for, and I knew I didn't have a good answer for. I said, and I had a few friends that would go home early when they had responsibilities, and I could never understand that. And so I was just like, I don't know why I drink the way I drink. And that was like me telling her, I have zero clue why I do this, and I wish that I didn't have to drink as much as I drink. And I said this while I was drunk. And so I was hoping, you know, when I'm drinking, I usually think people are drunk as me whenever I'm drinking. And she was completely sober, so she remembered. And so I woke up in the morning, and it was like very quiet morning. There was like no TV on or anything. She's like reading a book, and I was just like, come in there. And I'm like, well, maybe she's not mad at me, you know. And then I get in there, and she's like, what the hell are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do different? And, I told her I had no idea what she wanted me to do. And she's like, well, why don't you? And I think her mom had gone through some like AA or Celebrate Recovery and some treatment and stuff like that. And so she's like, you need like treatment or AA or something. And I don't think her intentions were for me to go, but I think it was more of a jab to say, do you have a problem kind of thing? And I've been to NA before, because I had gotten caught a few times with pot, and they told me to go to 12 meetings. And what I did whenever I went to NA was I went to the worst part of town, and I was like, man, I really want to see what it's like to be in these places, you know. I want to see what they're like. And it was just the crazy part about the 12 meetings, it was in the hood. And it was 12 meetings into it, I was like, dude, I am just like these people. And I would smoke weed before going into those meetings, and I would just be so paranoid. I'm like, God, this is horrible. You know, I hope I don't ever have to come here again. And but it was just really bad, because it was like, this place really makes me feel bad about myself. And I just didn't like it. I had this like drug and alcohol education class and he talked about that we lower our standards of living to meet what we like to do, you know, which is drink and drug. And he was talking about, first he like gave one example of like a painter. He's like, well, a painter, you know, you put the paint on the wall and the whole wall changes the color. And then he talked about mowing lawns. And he said, when you cut a yard, every piece of grass is cut. And I would think to myself, that was the main reason why I love mowing yards, because I would smoke weed and I would zone out and I would completely forget that I'm mowing a yard. And I would go back and I'd be like, damn, I just mowed a whole yard. And that's pretty much what I did. That's how I got tied into mowing lawns. And so I could relate, and it was like, it just kind of like stuck in the back of my mind. And so I end up going to an AA meeting. And it was like a really small meeting. It was like two people. And it was like, I think the reason why it felt weird is because it was two people. And it was like two people telling me like what to do. And it might not have been telling me what to do. It's just been telling me what they did. But I took it as they were telling me what to do. And I was like, this can't be AA. Because I've been to NA and there's big meetings. All of AA. So then I actually, there was a group right next to my house. I just happened to look through the meeting schedule and I was like, well, let me go to this one and see what this is like. Because I knew that there was, if I continued on this path, these things were going to continuously get worse. And, you know, I just had to get out of trouble too. And so I go to this meeting and these guys are just sharing their experience, and it was something I could listen to, and I got like really excited about AA my first day. They told me to do 90 meetings in 90 days. It's like, after that, you can do whatever you want, you know? And they also said, if you read this big book, you have a better chance of staying sober. And I thought to myself, or this, I think somebody said, you don't even have to read it. You just read like a couple pages a day, like for 5, 10 pages. And at that meeting, I don't know if I ever saw this person ever again, but there was one person there that was like a little bit younger. Well, he was actually younger than me. I was 23, so he was younger than me. And I was like, if that guy can do it, then I can do it. And he had like 9 months sober, and he was talking about how good his life was. And I was like, and that was like the last young person I saw for a while. But actually, I did see one other one, yeah, but I was like, there's no way that kid drank. And it was just like, you know, we make opinions. But anyways, I don't know where I was going with that. So I start talking to these people, and they say, if you feel like drinking, call these numbers. And they gave me a list of numbers. And there was one guy I actually really liked there, and he gave me his number. So I really like made note. I was like, that's the guy I'm going to call if I feel like drinking. And that was the guy that gave me like the wrong number. I don't know what happened. But I called all, like 5 or 6 numbers. So the next day, obviously, I go back to mowing, and around that 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock time frame, I just start feeling like drinking again. And I'm like, yesterday didn't feel like drinking. Today I really feel like drinking. And but they said to call, and I was like, well, and I start calling, and there was this one guy. He had he was talking to me, and he was saying that he was atheist, and he said he's been sober for 2 years, and that he's been just doing what they talk about in AA, and that's what's been keeping him sober. And I thought to myself, well, if he can do it, then I can do it, because I've been to Catholic school for 11 years, and I've heard enough about God that I don't need to hear anymore. But if this guy is atheist and he's staying sober, then I can do it, you know? And that was one guy. And then there was another guy that said, you know, you don't have to mow another yard today, but you also don't have to drink today either. And I'm going to be at the 6 o'clock meeting if you want to meet me there. And I was like, freaking awesome. I was like, I don't want to mow another yard today, so I'm not, you know? And so I ended up wrapping that up and meeting this guy at the 6 o'clock. And literally, that's been the story of my sobriety. It's been the first few months were very difficult. It was not easy. I thought I suffered more than most, you know. That might have been my ego just telling me that I'm the worst in the room. But I literally just felt like drinking for a long time. And I would just be like, this person came in a month after me, and they feel great, and I feel like crap. How does this happen? They're doing something. What's like, how does this work? You know, and I'm like, I'm doing all these detoxes, and it was just, you know, which just feeling like drinking just made me do more service work. You know, like made me call my sponsor more. It made me call more people. And that's literally been the story of my sobriety. My best thinking gets me drunk. And I would say that's, to me, that's the first step. And I came to believe in a power greater than myself is showing up to a meeting, because I can't do this by myself. So I have to. I believe in AA that's going to help me, you know, and whatever that answer is, you know, that I'll turn my will and my life over to that power. And that's been a constant consistency for me. I struggle with prayer a lot, but I try. I try to do it every day. Sometimes I don't know where it's going, but I know that the people that stay sober for long periods of time pray and meditate, and that's what I try to do every day. And there's times that it's the thing that really saves me. And it, but recently it's been tough, you know, just because what happens is when life is really good, you don't tend to pray as much, or at least I don't tend to pray as much, because I think that everything is great. Why would I even talk to God about this, you know? And then when life is really bad, I forget how to pray, you know, and I'm like, why would I pray? This is shitty. And but like I resentments, you know, with resentments, I have this, you know, I'll get a resentment. And when I start praying for that person, I've for some reason, God shows me the answer. And that's been the thing that really keeps my faith, you know, because I just can't believe that I can't be mad at somebody. You know, if I'm so mad at somebody, I should hold that grudge for as long as possible. But whenever I'm praying, for some reason, that person is just as sick as I am. And they can mess up just like I do. And it's a gift to have a program like this. And if you're here for today, just know you don't have to drink. And, after 12 o'clock, you can make that decision. But, you know, until 12 o'clock, you know, you just don't have to drink. That's all I have. Thanks.